Blog Talk Radio.
And here we are. A little later, we have a guest who is an author. But first, some news. The Ukraine is about to put up hotels at a World War II era site where a number of Jews were massacred by Nazis. A furor has arisen. Acorn sues right-wing activists for wiretapping. A new vaccine has prevented some HIV infections. Paul Kirk will fill Senator Kennedy's seat until the January election. He says he will not be a candidate. A woman has gotten pregnant while she's already pregnant. Apparently, she's also been blued and tattooed. An ad campaign that is advising people to save the boobs has aroused anger. It's actually aroused my curiosity. Why should we care about saving Republicans? Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That's me. Good evening, hello, and hi, not necessarily in that order. We are going to talk about those things and more, including fighting off a cold, which I'm doing as we speak. You may also want to get a pen or pencil, and preferably a piece of paper to go with it, as we're going to tell you about a couple of websites you might be interested in noting. And the first one of those will be a word from our sponsor, which is a website of mine, which is called JeffOnBlogging, all one word, .blogspot.com. Simply, if you have a business website and are not blogging, you can do that rather inexpensively. In fact, you can do it free if you choose to do it yourself. And the website I just gave you, the blog site, if you will advise you how to do that, and it'll also talk about what you can do if you don't want to do it yourself, but agree, as you will, that the need is there to go ahead and blog to bring more business to your website and bring more business to your company. The guest we're going to have in about 28 minutes is James Livesey Kulik, who has written a new book called A New Dawn. And I would hold it up to the computer or the telephone so you could see it, but that seems probably pointless. But he'll be talking about the novel itself, which I am in the process of reading. And he will also discuss with us the craft of writing, the process of writing, and publishing, as well as self-publishing. So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope that those of you who are listening are as well. In addition to the program being on now, as many of you know, it is available at blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. Anytime you want, on demand, in the archive form. So you can go to the site as you went to it tonight to listen, presumably, and you can go ahead and click on an earlier program and listen, and you'll be able to hear whatever you'd like among the programs that we've already done. We spoke last week about books that I like and have enjoyed, and I was recommending to you, among others, a book by Nelson DeMille called Wildfire, and I have since finished the book, and I must tell you that it's better than I thought it was. I thought it was very good, but it turned out to be fabulous. So if you are into mystery and suspense and would like a rousing good time, as they say, Wildfire by Nelson DeMille, although I would recommend to you anything that he's written. He is just flat-out excellent. Also, we're now reading the book that I mentioned, A New Dawn, by James Livesey Kulik, which, as I'm sure he will hasten to add, is available at Amazon.com. And he will tell us about other places that it is available. In terms of the headlines we talked about, a couple of them we should touch upon. Acorn was suing, or is suing, the folks who caught a couple of their employees and had that adventure showing on certain news outlets, not least of which was Fox News, also known as Fox Noise. And the incident was involving them putting phony people into the Acorn office to get them to advise them on how to run a prostitution business and not run afoul of the IRS and other authorities. The people who did that were fired, of course. and Congress is working to cut off funding to Acorn. But over and above that, Acorn was pointing out that recording without the consent of the person being recorded in the state where that occurred, which I'm pretty sure is Maryland, was illegal, as a result of which they have sued the folks who have caught them on tape. So it's kind of turning the tables. So that's what's happening there. I also mentioned a pen or pencil might be a good idea. The reason for that was that I'm going to tell you about a couple of websites. I already told you about one. I'll tell you about a couple more of mine if we have time. But also I wanted to tell you about a couple of things that you might find really interesting if you are interested in radio. Presumably, since you're listening to this, you at least have a passing interest in radio, and I'll share with you some of the things that I found that likewise you might find interesting. The vaccine, some of you have heard about this was just in the news today, that does prevent HIV infections, has been tested in Thailand. And while the results were what is called, statistically significant, it is by no means even the beginning of the end here. What occurred was that the people who were subjects of the test were divided into two groups, and the group that received the vaccine had a better result, that is to say, had less HIV infection, than the group that didn't have the vaccine, that had a placebo vaccine. I should also add that the researchers did not expose the subjects to the HIV virus. They, by living in Thailand and doing what people normally do there and elsewhere, became exposed. And there was something like a 31% better result with the vaccine than without it. However, that's still a fairly small number. Out of the number of people who were in the vaccine group, not everyone avoided the virus. So this is more like the very beginning of the beginning. This is the first time that an HIV vaccine has had any apparent effect whatsoever. So it really is a case of, as are so many things, of staying tuned for more news. The woman who got pregnant while she was pregnant, now this is apparently something that does happen in nature, but it's rather unusual. And it did happen. They call it something. I was looking for the word, which I don't have here now. But it's something like super fet something or other. And I'm sure that's helpful. And here is the story now. These folks, Mr. and Mrs. Grovenberg, found out they were having a baby, then found out they were having another baby, but they're not twins. An ultrasound revealed that there's a male fetus who was conceived 2.5 weeks after she became pregnant with a baby girl. And pregnancy is, here it is, it's called superfetation. Super and then F-E-T-A-T-I-O-N, for those of you who want to instantly look it up on Google. That is something that can happen, and it involves obviously conceiving while already pregnant. In any event, the doctor who discussed this said that the egg and the sperm implant, that's the first pregnancy, and then if the woman ovulates more than once a month, and many women do, not as a percentage, but as raw numbers, and there happens to be another situation where sperm meets egg, they too will implant, and you get two fetuses. And now the children are due at the end of 2009 and the beginning of 2010, apparently December and January. In any event, the websites I wanted to start to tell you, by the way, we also have some news of the weird from the website of the same name that I'll be sharing with you. And if you are interested in calling in either now or when our guest joins us, let me give you the number for that. It's area code 347-994-3796. Repeating that, 347-994-3796. And whatever else you'd like to talk about, if someone does wish to call in, one of the things that I'd like to know from you is books that you have read either recently or in the distant past, for that matter, that you've really enjoyed and would recommend. And just give us an idea of the title, the author, and why you would recommend it to other people. The websites I wanted to tell you about, which relate to radio, are two of them. I have previously mentioned, that is in other shows, but in case you weren't there then, and your absence was noted, by the way, you might be interested in a website called Receiva.com, R-E-C-I-V-A.com. And what Receiva is you can choose a genre or a location, and in so doing, you will then be able to get almost all radio stations that qualify in either. So, for example, if you were going to pick Los Angeles, you could get KABC, KFI, KHJ, if that's still in existence, and so forth. And you could then listen on the Internet right there. Alternatively, if you chose talk radio, which is one of the genres, or jazz, you could get all the jazz stations and all the talk stations from all over the world, by the way, including in foreign languages, and then play those on your computer, so you could hear them. Now, clearly you need the same kind of fast connection you need for this, to listen to Blog Talk Radio. But if you have that, you can listen to anything. And I've listened to jazz from Russia and other distant places like Minnesota. And but it doesn't have to be jazz, obviously. You can listen to any kind of music you want to. There are a lot of classical stations. Some of them are created just for listening to on the Internet, and others are, of course, standard radio stations that you can access that way. Most radio stations around the country and many around the world now have an Internet presence. And while you can certainly go to the radio station's website and listen to it there, you can also use a service like Receiva or the next one I'm going to tell you about, which is Radiotime.com. That's all one word. And that doesn't operate in quite the same way. It does not operate by location, so you can't do that as you can with Receiva. But with Radiotime, they have some very interesting categories, interesting to me, hopefully to you. They have music, of course, and with that, you can pick various kinds of music. One of the ones that I noticed was jazz slash New Age, which means that if you click on that, you get all the jazz and New Age stations that they have available. And again, almost all of those are, in fact, actual radio stations around the country. And actually, again, around the world. There were some stations in other parts of the world I noticed there as well. Of course, if you're listening to music, the old expression about it being the universal language is generally true. You don't have to worry about where it's coming from. And the announcement between compositions is always amusing if it's in another language that you don't speak. But one of the things that I've been doing, I'm a big fan of public radio, NPR. And one of the there is a category on Radiotime.com just for public / NPR. When you click on it, you will get stations all over the country, and it will show what program they're playing. So if you're accustomed to listening to NPR on your local station or even on Sirius Radio, where you get a couple of more NPR stations, you can choose a station and you will hear what's playing at that hour. So as an example, right now it is, about 8:15 Pacific time. And while most our local NPR station here is playing jazz, which is perfectly fine, if I wanted to listen to, for example, All Things Considered, it might be on in Hawaii. I was listening to a Hawaii public radio station earlier today, although not for that program. But you get the point. They play different things at different times on different stations. You would have access to all of that. Again, assuming public radio interests you, and if it doesn't, what I've just told you is a waste of your time, for which I apologize. Let's talk about health here. We had spoken briefly last week about real healthcare reform. as distinguished from healthcare financing reform, which is what's before Congress right now. Healthcare financing reform is important, and I wanted to mention something which, again, I've mentioned previously, and that is that even if a healthcare program costs $1 trillion, which is clearly a lot of money, it works out for every person in America on a yearly basis to only $312.50. And that's the most expensive program anyone's talked about. And just so you know, if you want to do the math, that's $1 trillion over 10 years, which comes out to $100 billion a year. And you divide that by the population of the United States, which is approximately 320 million people. When you do that, you get $312.50. So all of the discussion about expense, while not completely absurd, is a touch overblown. In any event, we talked about health in that context, and we also talked about our healthcare financing reform. We also talked about the need to reduce people's intake of fat and sugar, and I'm not going to beat that over your head again right now. But I did want to talk to you about what some people do, including your humble servant, when it comes to avoiding colds, and if one is coming on, fighting it off. As you may be able to hear in my throat now, I am, in fact, fighting off a cold. Now, what I mean by fighting off a cold is this. It means that you feel, as you can sense, that a cold is coming on, but you don't really have it. It hasn't manifested into a cold yet. But you can feel the scratchy throat. Your fatigue level is higher than it should be based on the amount of sleep and activity you've had. So you feel kind of lousy, but not really sick yet. Well, first off, let's talk about vitamin C generally. Vitamin C actually does help prevent colds. I'm not a doctor, although I've played doctor when I was younger. I've never... The fact is that vitamin C, if you take enough of it over a long period of time, and assuming further that you have no condition which would be irritated by the consumption of vitamin C, for example, if you have kidney problems already, you need to speak to your physician before you start taking vitamin C. But if you don't have a condition like that and aren't taking a drug that would either be increased in its power or decreased in its power by the consumption of vitamin C, then typically it will do no harm. I would recommend to you reading any of the books written on this subject by Linus Pauling. Linus Pauling was a Nobel Prize winner, twice I believe, though not for this. And he wrote a series of books about vitamin C and what it could do to do a number of things. There is a book that you might find really enjoyable and useful called Vitamin C and Cancer, which he wrote with a Canadian MD. But in terms of vitamin C generally, taking it as a preventive really works. One of the reasons it does work is because vitamin C will harden the membrane of your cells. Why is that important? I'm glad I asked that question. Thank you very much, me. The reason that's important is that viruses replicate by entering your cell and using your cell's reproductive capacity. As you undoubtedly know, cells reproduce with some speed. They use something in the cell, in the cell's properties called mitochondria. And when they duplicate, if a virus is in there, the virus duplicates and duplicates and duplicates and duplicates. And when that happens, of course, if there are enough of them, enough cells that are contaminated by the virus, you feel sick, you get sick. The reason you get over a cold typically is not because you cure the virus, you don't. What happens is that the virus basically burns itself out, basically runs out of steam. And that'll happen over a period of time, but you can speed that process up again with vitamin C. But first, talking about getting back to prevention, if you're taking vitamin C on a regular basis, and I'm not talking about drinking orange juice or eating oranges, I'm talking about taking supplements, and I'll talk about that in a second, you harden the cell's membrane, making the virus's entry and its reproduction more difficult. That's why vitamin C helps prevent the common cold. Now I'm fighting it off because I can feel one coming on, although I feel better now than I did about half an hour ago, by taking extra vitamin C. I'm taking vitamin C about every 15 minutes when I can. Obviously, I can't do that while we're talking to you, but in that process, that will cause the virus to, again, burn out, run out of steam faster, because it can't, by not being able to enter as many cells, its reproductive capacity will be further reduced, and therefore I will get over the cold faster, or not actually have it manifest, and that's what I'm doing now. How much is too much? How much is a vitamin C pill? How much vitamin C is in an orange or in orange juice? Well, you have to understand, in an orange that just comes off the tree, there's about 55 milligrams. I am holding in my hand, not a list of communists in the State Department, as Senator McCarthy used to, but I am holding in my hand a 1,000 milligram pill, vitamin C. And the orange has about 55 milligrams, so you can do the math. That's, what, about 19 times the amount of vitamin C in an orange is in that one pill. So you would have to eat a lot of oranges or drink a lot of orange juice to get that content. The problem with that is that when you have an orange or orange juice in a refrigerator in a plastic bottle, vitamin C is very sensitive to a number of factors. One is time. The longer it's been since the orange came off the tree, the more vitamin C is gone. So that's one issue. Vitamin C is also light sensitive. Why is that important? Well, if the orange is off the tree and is out in the sun, it's losing vitamin C. Likewise, if you have orange juice in a plastic bottle in a refrigerator, every time that refrigerator opens and closes, that orange juice is losing some vitamin C. I think I'll take some. Everybody join me? I even convinced myself, as you can see. In any event, or in no event, as the case may be, the additional factors that affect vitamin C, as I mentioned before, time. The longer you've had the orange or the orange juice, the less vitamin C it has. It's also subject to temperature changes. So in this part of the country, if you had the orange off the tree and it's sitting out, it gets very warm during the summer, and you'll lose vitamin C that way. But the way most people lose the vitamin C content in their oranges and their orange juice is, of course, keeping it in a refrigerator. The more it's in the refrigerator, the colder it gets. Again, that vitamin C content goes down. So the only way, realistically, to get enough vitamin C where you can help prevent your colds and help kill them when they come on is by taking them in supplement form. I'm hesitant to say how much you should take, but I can tell you how much I take. I, during a work day, will take about 1,000 milligrams an hour. The appropriate question then is, okay, smart guy, if this works, how come you're getting a cold or expect you're fighting off a cold? And I'll answer that in just a second. But when I say 1,000 milligrams an hour, I strongly suggest you not do that, or at least you not do that right away. That's something you have to build up to. And as a practical matter, if you don't do it that way, your stomach is going to let you know that it doesn't like what you've done. I don't want to get any more specific, except that you may want to have your running shoes on. That's the problem with vitamin C. If you take more than your body, and particularly your stomach, is adjusted to. So whatever you're going to do with vitamin C in terms of increasing your content, do it slowly. Do it over a period of time. What I normally recommend to those people who have never used vitamin C in supplementary form is to take 500 milligrams in the morning and 500 milligrams in the evening before bed. Then to increase after about 2 weeks of usage by adding 500 in the afternoon, and so on and so forth, without going into a lot of detail now that it will bore you to death if that hasn't already happened. That's what the process is. Let me break at this point to tell you about another place that I'd like to invite you to on the web. It's tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire. That site is where you will find my book titled, oddly enough, Mobile Millionaire. And it talks not so much about what I've done, although it does allude to that. It talks about what you can do. It's a guidebook. It has forms. It has guidance and direction, will give you the reasons that investing in mobile homes as a way of increasing your income and increasing your wealth might be the right thing for you. And if you're a small investor, that's all to the good, frankly. You don't need to be Donald Trump. You can be John Smith, or hopefully someone with a more creative name. And you can go ahead and use this book as a guide, as a guidebook, and it will take you through the process of deciding whether to do it, telling you how much money you need. I'll give you a hint. You actually don't need any. But having some is good, too. Telling you how to invest, how to make judgments, how to inspect, how to get tenants, or how to sell with financing. I think you'll find it interesting. Pardon me. If you're in a position where you're thinking about doing investment. Website again is www, of course, tinyurl.com/, mobile millionaire. In a couple of minutes, we are expecting our call-in from the author who will be our guest for the remainder of the show, James Livesey Kulik, who has written A New Dawn. I also wanted to talk to you about, depending on when his call comes, and we may not have time to cover it all, but I also wanted to present you with some news of the weird. And there are a couple of stories. By the way, I commend to your review, speaking of websites, newsoftheweird.com. At that website, they have a lot of amusing or shocking or surprising stories. They do a great job. Their column, which they produce once a week, is in a variety of newspapers across the country, some of which are what they used to call alternate newspapers or alternative newspapers, like Such and Such Weekly, or New Times, and very good and interesting. And also, you can go to their website and see these things. And I will share those with you another time, because it looks like we have a caller, and it may in fact be our guest. So let's see if he's there or somebody's there. Hello, are you there?
Hello, I'm here. It is James.
All right.
Kulik.
Hi, James. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, if you've been listening, you know I'm trying to fight off a cold, but otherwise I'm fine.
You sound fabulous, though.
Oh, go on.
One would not know that you have a cold.
What's that?
One would not know that you do have a cold if you do.
Well, thank you. Well, it really hasn't manifested yet, as I said. It's just in the early stages of trying to get control, and I'm not letting it.
Good.
Both by power of absolute stubbornness and taking a lot of vitamin C.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So how are you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. Actually, I'm doing really, really good. I had a great day today. So
good. Go ahead.
Now, just going to tell you that I was doing a lot of writing today. Had another surge of my muse for my third book. And our second book is about to be done, and we're here to talk about my first book, A New Dawn.
Let's do that. A New Dawn is a novel. I'm holding it in my hand as we speak, and I've been reading it, and I'm about not quite halfway through. It's very well written. The plotting is terrific.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I will tell you there, and I'll share with our audience of two or three people that you told and I told to listen, that there are a couple of parts in the book that I've gotten through so far. I'll tell you where I am in the book for your plot purposes.
Mm-hmm.
They've just had the dinner of all of the family, the family. Where Joe is at the head of the table.
Uh-huh.
All right. In any event, the parts I've had trouble with is just as, you know, my own personal flaw,
mm-hmm.
is reading through the scenes where there is, I guess, sexual content between the two men.
Yes.
That's not your fault. You wrote it perfectly fine. But it's, you know, my own flaw of getting through it. I also had trouble with some scenes in Six Feet Under, which used to be on HBO, for a similar reason. But, you know, but frankly, you don't need to, if one does have a problem getting through that, it's not a big deal. You can, you know, kind of skim that, move on. It doesn't really affect the quality of the story.
Totally.
Yes, and tell me how you came up with the idea for the plot. And before you do that, I beg your pardon, before you do that, to the extent you feel comfortable describing the plot, why don't you do that?
Okie dokes. As you said, it is a mafia-based thing, and I tagged it comedy noir, and it mm-hmm. is Sopranos meets The Birdcage.
Okay.
For the tagline on it. And actually, you bring up a really good point, because with the sexual scene, I thought to myself, I needed to put that in there because I was told to, number mm-hmm. one. And also, I figured if I turned red, that was the litmus for me. If I turned red, closed my eyes, and wrote it, then it would work.
okay.
Because I was kind of raised kind of very rigid, and
yeah.
from a grandmother being very British. So,
okay.
That was a little difficult for me to write.
And grandma was also very, very proper, right?
Oh, very proper. Yes, indeed, mm-hmm. very proper. She passed away in 89, God rest her. And
mm-hmm.
the thing with her is that she gave me validation. And that's exactly what this book is all about, is validation.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I want to come out of this book is that everybody should be able to feel good in their own skin. And
yeah.
not need the acceptance of others. So
right.
self-validation comes first, then you can validate other people and love each other so much easier when you love and respect yourself.
Yeah.
The Joe and Brad are the main characters of this, and it's basically Joe Rosen, a young Jewish boy, is growing up and evolving into his own skin of being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes when his father passes away that he has to take over the family business.
Right.
And it's all about who's trying to shoot him, who's trying to gain control of the family and take it all away from him,
mm-hmm.
and just all these little plot twists are in there to make it comedy noir, as I said, and
mm-hmm.
downright funny.
Yeah, it is a funny book. There are a lot of funny spots in it. I must tell you, it's very well done in terms of the humor. As I say, the plotting.
Thank you. I think
very well
it's a lot easier to talk about validation and to talk about being gay, to talk about being Jewish, to talk about all these different topics that I bring up in the book,
mm-hmm.
when you can laugh.
Sure.
People, I think, feel more comfortable, don't you, when they can laugh at things.
No question. As a matter of fact, I will tell you something in terms of something I know a little something about is sales.
Mm-hmm.
Although what I do, you know, generally speaking, is not sales per se, but it has a sales orientation. And if you can get somebody to laugh when you're talking to them, they will much more likely go ahead and buy what you're selling or accept or be persuaded by what you're saying, even if it is otherwise might be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not suggesting that what you're offering in the book is difficult. I'm saying that having someone laugh, the message is more easily absorbed that you're trying to put out there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, what I want to do with this book is to allow people to realize that it's okay to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of issue in this country right now with people who are gay, and because
sure.
There are people out there who have, dare I make up a word here, monstrous-sized people
mm-hmm.
and lump them
sure.
into a big lump sum of they're bad if they're gay. And what I'm trying to do with this book is to allow people who are gay and straight to feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
in their skin, whether they're gay or whether they have a gay member of the family.
Yeah. You know, everybody grows up feeling as if they not only are odd and not accepted, but that they're the only one who's experiencing that.
Exactly.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Everybody.
Oh.
And, you know, and of course the, you know, the old expression is if you've got a problem and think you're all, you know, you think you're the only one, you're already wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody feels that way, you know.
Totally.
yeah. So getting back to this book, I mean, in terms of the subject matter and the process, you know, one of the things I've found, because people who I meet generally know that I write as well,
mm-hmm.
Although I do have no published novel, so congratulations on that. You're welcome. But in terms of writing, people will always say, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you know, one of these days I'm going to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've got a great idea for a book. I just need to write it. But the other thing that and of course, most people never do. The
mm-hmm.
other thing that happens is people will ask you the question I'm about to on their behalf, which is in reference to this book. I mean, generally they'll say, where do you get your ideas? So I'll ask you, how did you manage to come up with the ideas for this book? I say ideas plural because there's a lot more than one thing going on.
Yes, actually the main thing that was grained into my head from youth, if you're going to write anything, write what you know about. Because if you write about something that you don't know about, then people will know and they won't take you seriously.
Yeah.
So growing up in New Jersey, mm-hmm. I knew about...
Sure.
I knew about mafia.
There you go. I have to tell you the reason I laughed when you were saying what you were starting to say about write what you know. I have mentioned it on the show before, and... I write a monthly column for a magazine which disproves that theory. It's
mm-hmm.
on the subject of sex.
Yes.
So it's a case of, you know, to that extent, it's like he who can does, he who can't writes about it, you know. But I am kidding, hopefully. But but anyway, that's why I laugh, because I have mentioned to people when I tell them about the column that I disprove the theory about write what you know.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead with what you were saying about the New Jersey experience.
Yeah. So, you know, being in New Jersey, you always hear stories about mafia mm-hmm. and Atlantic City with the casinos.
Sure.
And you just hear different things. And of course, being gay, I definitely
uh-huh.
know about that.
Sure.
Growing up, being ostracized, being told that I was not good enough to be
uh-huh.
a human being. And
right.
so a lot of that is written into the character of Joe.
Absolutely.
And I was sitting down one day, and because I had a book, full book written, full script written, and I got it about a little bit. And a majority of the people wrote back and said, there's nothing blowing up. There's no action to this. It's milk
right.
toast. And I said, okie dokie, I can handle this.
Uh-huh.
So I sat down and I thought to myself, okay, blow things up, have some sex,
mm-hmm.
mafia and gay. Throw the two things together. What would happen if Nathan
right.
Lane was a young man
ah.
mm-hmm. and he found out that his father was killed, and he had to take over the family business. My
That's
lord,
right. yeah.
the possibilities
yeah.
are huge. So I sat
sure.
down and started writing, and I'll tell you what, the first book, I must confess, I did not outline at all.
Okay.
I just totally sat down, and my muse...
And again, you're referring, by mentioning the first book, you're referring to A New Dawn.
A New Dawn, yes.
Okay.
The second
so
one...
So you on your other books, you've been outlining.
Actually, no.
Okay.
The Vendetta is actually today, I am glad to tell you, the editing is done. The editor contacted me. It's done. My partner, Carl, will be proofing it, and then it will go to press. So hopefully
good.
We will have a December date for
another one out.
Good for that one.
I want to talk to you about that book in a minute, but
mm-hmm.
getting back to New Dawn.
Yes.
You were saying that the idea stemmed from what you created as, you know, possibility as a result of your experience and upbringing.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, it's all about, like I said, writing what you know. But
mm-hmm.
When I did the sex scenes, actually I modeled that, not after so much something that happened to me, but
good.
I modeled it after something that happened eons ago, and I'm talking like long time ago, on a soap opera.
Okay.
And that's how a heterosexual couple got together.
I got
In front of the fireplace. And I thought to myself, okay, that can totally happen. And I just imagined what it was happening and just did that. And like I said, I closed my eyes, blushed a beautiful shade of hypertension pink, and had
out. Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you know this or not, but the primary purpose of fireplaces is not for either warmth or the smell of, you know, nice burning wood. It is for sex.
Amen to that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, and you know, there you go. Of course, the Ben Franklin stove is different. That's, you know, that's for warmth, but fireplaces, you know, are a lot of, as I say, a lot of people don't realize it, but that's the case. The other question I was going to ask you with reference to the book, and if I seem to be speeding along, I apologize, but
that's
I didn't know
okay.
the conversation I was going to have with you was going to go so fast. It seems like, you know, we're like darting by minutes, and I'm keeping an eye on that. Another question I'm sure people have asked you, so I will, is how long it took you from sit down the first time till you finished all the writing of this book?
6 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. The first one was agonizing, and then when I finally got the right flavor of the book, Sopranos Meets the Birdcage, that's when it just – I got to tell you, I could not wait to get home and sit at my computer
and get going
because I wanted to know what happened next.
Mm-hmm.
And when I sailed through and got to the end of the book, I said – dang, I didn't see that coming. I loved it.
That's
was
great.
Really wonderful.
Yeah. By the way, let me mention, in case anyone does want to call, we do have about 18 minutes is all left. But if someone does wish to call in and speak to James and have me along for the ride, it's 347-994-3796. So this took you 6 months. Now you've written a second – oh, I want to talk about availability first. And also, I want you to tell us about the award you won from the Arizona Authors Association. But first, talk about availability. Someone wants to buy this book right now. What do they do?
If you are in the Tempe area and know of Changing Hands Bookstore, you can get it there.
Okay, that would be Tempe, Arizona, for those of you who don't know that. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tempe, Arizona. And if you are not there, you can get it on my website, and I'm going to spell this out because it's a little bit long. It's my pen name, and that's James Livesey Kulick, JamesLivezeyKulick.com. And there's two ways to get it on there. There's either the PayPal or there is a form that you can fax me. And the book will go out within 24 hours of that, and it will be signed, actually.
All right. And did you not mention to me, my memory may be flawed, but didn't you mention to me that it's also available on Amazon?
It is on Amazon.com, and you can get it under Rosler Publications.
R-O-S-L-E-R?
R-O-E-S-L-E-R.
Okay. But, I mean, if someone puts into the search box at Amazon, A New Dawn, your book will come up, will it not?
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Okay.
And the reason that I'm specifying Rosler is because there's a cute little thing with the post office.
Yes,
they have absolutely no liability whatsoever for anything that goes through their doors. And amazingly, half a carton of books tipped over somehow, and 13 books walked out of the case and wound up in their sale bin. And
how lovely.
And I sold them at auction, and this person bought them, and I do not benefit financially from those at all.
Right.
And when I asked the post office about that, they said, Congress gave us 100% immunity. There's nothing you can do.
Yep, that's right.
God bless them. So that's
why
I specify the Rosler site on that.
Oh, so within Amazon, if you put in R-O-E-S-L-E-R Publications,
they have a little site in there, but you just put in A New Dawn, actually put in my name also, James Livesey Kulick, or Kulick, and that'll come up, because I typed
in,
and it was huge.
All right. Okay, great. With regard to Kulick, it's K-U-L-I-C-K.
Correct.
Okay. Talk to me about publishing. There are a lot of people who fancy themselves writers, and people who think they're fancy writers, for that matter. But anyway, there are a lot of people who fancy themselves writers, think, boy, if I could get a publisher to look at this book that I have in my brain, if I ever get it on paper or onto a hard drive, boy, I'm going to... Okay, so the way this book was published, which, by the way, let me just share, this is what you call a trade paperback, basically, right?
Yes.
This is a large format paper. By that, I don't mean large print, although it's certainly readable. It is a, I mean, it's readable in several senses, but I was referring to the print size. But the trade paperback means it's a larger than the mass market paperback that you, you know, read your Perry Mason books
exactly.
when you were a kid, or at least I did. So this is a larger, it's not a coffee table, but it's a larger, I'm trying to think of the size here. What is it, about 6-7 inches tall?
Yeah.
And probably more than that. Anyway, great looking cover, by the way.
Thank you.
Sunrise or sunset over water. I'm sorry?
Yes. My sister-in-law did that, Pat, and
yeah,
she did
beautiful.
That down in Aruba.
Okay. Aruba?
So, yes. We
okay, great.
In Aruba.
Mm-hmm. Now, so getting back to the publication process, and by the way, we have 14 minutes left until
okay.
we're gone. So,
okay.
Take your time, but in terms of publication, this was self-published, is that correct?
Yes, it was. Rosler, we got together over a lunch table and agreed to everything, and it was very, very easy once it went.
Okay.
They do the editing. They do everything for you. You just have to come up with a story.
That's great. And, of course, the money to have it published.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then you publish it, and then, of course, all the sales that you make are go back to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that is a viable alternative that someone can look into.
And
I assume that you don't really know how many books have been sold to this point, which is fine. But it's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Actually, yes, it is. We're in negotiations. I don't know whether I can say this or not, but we're kind of in negotiations
yeah,
right now with Barnes & Noble.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting my information into them, and they have been really fabulous to me. So I'm going to get my information in, so hopefully we'll have it there. With my website, if you go on my website, jameslibzykulik.com, you will see that I have put the first chapter up, and that's very, very
important.
That's
great.
To sell the book. That's just another way of advertising the book. I advertise it on Facebook, Twitter, everything and anywhere that I can plaster the name A New Dawn by James Libzy Kulik, it gets plastered.
That's great. You know, a lot of people believe that if they go to a standard publisher like Random House, for example, and as many people know, there are fewer and fewer publishers anyway, but if you go to a standard publisher that once they, you know, decide to publish your book, you don't have to worry about a thing. They'll take care of everything. And in fact, for many reasons, you may as well self-publish, because the reality is they will do next to nothing anyway, unless your name happens to be, I don't know, Stephen King or Jonathan Kellerman or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you have to publicize your book like crazy yourself anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, and since in a normal publishing situation, you get something like, I don't even remember, like 5% or 10% of the sales price as a royalty, you may as well do all the publication yourself and all the publicity yourself, because with respect to the latter situation, you're going to do it all anyway.
Yeah, get your foot in the door, and then they come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm finding out now. People are starting to come to me. For different things. So,
that's great. Now, the second book you mentioned that you're working on, or you just finished now, is called Vendetta?
The Vendetta, and that's a continuation
okay.
of the life of Joe and Brad Rosen. And
oh, okay.
And Connors Meets the Birdcage.
Terrific.
So,
and then you said, and you expect that that will be available on Amazon and elsewhere, including your website, come December approximately.
Yes, yes, from my lips to God's ears.
And may we all say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen. Okay.
And I'm very, very excited because the book A New Dawn has taken an award by the Arizona Authors Association.
Yes, I did allude to that before, and I also want to ask you about the third book, but tell me about the award you got from the Arizona Authors Association. I assume, first off, you're a member of the organization.
Yes, I am a member
uh-huh,
of the
okay.
organization, and I submitted the book in their contest, and out of thousands of books, mine has taken one of the top three prizes, which will be announced at their dinner in Glendale. You can check that out on their site, azauthors.com, and I'm on there, and I will find out on the 7th. Unfortunately, my first real award. I've had lots of recognition for this book from a lot of people. But my first award, I will be on shipboard down to Mexico for a book signing cruise that
I've
been asked to go on. So my publisher will be there to accept the award for me.
I was just saying, accepting the award for James Lindsay Cooley.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very good. Now, that not that there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be in Arizona at that time, but if for anyone who is, I mean, that aren't already, that's going to be in Glendale, Arizona. I only mention that because there's a Glendale, California, and probably a Glendale somewhere else.
Right.
That's October 7th, and it's azauthors.com, I believe you said.
Yeah, November 7th.
November 7th, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the third book is the third book in the last of a trilogy, or is it a new subject?
Actually, it's the last of the trilogy, and that one is the working title on it is Callie's Will Be Done.
And Callie from the first book is a cook,
is the
basically,
cook
in the house.
For the Rosen family, and she is a fast-witted African-American who is an absolutely fabulous person, and she's a real person, actually.
Oh, there is someone you know?
Oh, yes, yes. She was my mother's cook.
Oh, wow.
And when growing up, and she cooked for us when I was a little boy, and then she retired, and we had somebody else. But Callie was wonderful, and she was very fast-witted, and she was just the best person to go in and sit down when you had a problem or go in and had a joke that you wanted to work out before you took it to school.
So you would often say, now, there was a priest, a minister, and a rabbi.
Oh, my gosh. What was that joke that I just heard about? A priest, a minister, a rabbi, a horse, a duck, and a moose all walk into the bar at the same time, and the bartender says, what is this, a joke?
Yeah. That's funny. The one that reminds me of, and this is not can you top this, but the joke that reminds me of is a traveling salesman is driving along the road, and he comes to he's running, he's very tired, it's the end of the day, there's nothing around, he's in the middle of bloody nowhere, and so he sees a farmhouse and he knocks on the door. Farmer comes to the door and he says, yeah, can I help you? Salesman says, yeah, he says, I'm a traveling salesman, I'm really tired, I need a place to stay for the night, can I, you know, pay you, you know, for a room for a night? And the farmer says, yeah, he says, but I don't have any daughters. And the salesman says, well, I must be in the wrong joke.
That's great.
I wish I had made it up, but I and in spite of that joke had to carry itself because I don't tell jokes well. But but that's
it, good. You did
well, no. I mean, like I said, it was the joke itself. I'm afraid we don't have time to tell the joke that I told at my father's funeral. I actually told a joke at my father's funeral because it was one of his favorite jokes that he used to tell. But that'll be for another time and another day. But it's a great. Well, you know, you told the story basically of a Jewish family in this book. So let me try to abbreviate this joke real quickly because we've got 6 minutes. If you don't mind.
No. Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
A man dies, a Jewish man dies, but he really was not particularly religious. So when it came time for the rabbi to deliver the eulogy, he didn't really know the family. And so he appears at the funeral with no real preparation, but he begins to sing the prayer, that you say, over the gravesite. And the man's three sons were there. So he starts singing, Baruch Ata and God bless, and he's what is called davening, he's chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to the first son, he says, what's your name and what do you do? He says, my name is Bill and I'm a lawyer. He says, okay, Baruch Ata and God bless Bill the lawyer. And then the next son, he says to him, he says, what's your name and what do you do? He says, my name's Roger and I'm a doctor. So he says, all right, God bless Roger the doctor. The third son, he says, what's your name and what do you do? He says, my name is Philip. He says, I'm a talent scout. He says, okay. And some enchanted evening.
Wonderful.
As I said, the joke had to carry itself, but it's not very often you can get I mean, it was a terrible event, but it's not very often you can get a laugh at a funeral, of course.
Right.
And I really, it was really my father who got it rather than me, because, you know, people were laughing in part for appreciation of the way he did tell jokes, and he was great at it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to biz. So the book is doing well. You're touring
yes.
on a ship. Forgive me.
Yeah.
A ship to where it's a book signing cruise. Are you the only one who's doing signings, or is it
actually,
like
I
the?
Am. I was invited.
Really?
I was invited by two MCC churches, one here in Phoenix and another one over in San Diego. They're getting together for this cruise. And
what is an MCC church? Forgive me.
Metropolitan Community Church.
Ah, okay.
That is a church started by Troy Perry.
Troy Perry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
Yes, so
because I grew up in L.A.
Oh yes, yes,
yeah.
He is still huge there. He is
okay.
still doing things, even though he stepped down from the head person of MCC, Nancy Wilson,
okay.
took over.
Okay.
But anyway, Troy is one of the ones who helped me realize that the thing of validation needs to go out to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away from this radio program knowing that you should be comfortable in your own skin and that
right.
you don't have to ask anyone's rite of passage to
right.
do what you have to do in life. It's your
mm-hmm.
life. Walk it how you will.
Exactly.
So, you know, don't ask permission to be gay
yeah.
or to be straight or to be anything. This is all
yeah.
about you, and that's what Joe Rosen realizes in A New Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he can be who he is, and it doesn't have to take bullets over Broadway to do it.
and you are signing on this cruise. I know this is probably a silly question. I don't know that anyone's going to want to sign up just for this purpose, but are tickets still available for the cruise as far as you know?
As far as I know, they are. It's the Carnival Spirit, and
okay.
it will be on November 3rd through the 11th, I believe. And
there you go. So,
and I will also be, can we talk about the book club? Because that's the next place I'll be.
Real quickly, because we've got about a little over 2 minutes, I believe.
Okie dokie.
Make that three. I'm sorry, go ahead.
October 21st, I will be at Buster's in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the book club will be hosting A New Dawn and discussing it. And I will be on hand to field any questions or whatever.
Okay, very good. And and of course, when you're there, when people are discussing your book, that must, I don't know about you, but I would assume that if it were I'd be like extraordinarily uncomfortable. Do you feel comfortable when that's happening, when people are not just saying, they're not asking the questions like I was asking or that other people ask you, but are actually discussing your book?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that because sometimes somebody says something and I'm like, whoa, that is really cool. Thank you. You know.
Okay.
Validation points are from all over the place, so it's all
right.
good.
Okay, good, good, good. Glad to hear it. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to spend the last 2 minutes wrapping up, and usually I have an extra minute or so, but before I let you go, is there anything that I should have asked you that didn't that you want to let be known about the book or whatever else you're working on?
Actually, I think we covered it all. If you want the book, just get it on jameslibzykulik.com. Is this going to be site going to be posted on your webpage for the blog?
Well, there's no website as such, and not a blog for the show
okay.
at this stage. But if anyone who goes ahead and listens to the archive version will, of course, hear
yeah.
us mentioning your website about 14 times, which is fine.
jameslibzykulik.com, 15.
So, there you go.
Listen, thank you very, very much. I've so enjoyed
my pleasure. Talking. Thank you very much. You know, if okay, we have more time than I thought. We have 90 seconds, right? The way that Blog Talk Radio works, among other things, is that as you may know, because you've been on another show before,
yes.
there is a switchboard in front of the host on screen. It's not really a switchboard, but that's what they call it, which gives
uh-huh.
you a time, how much time you have. And then when it's near the end, they start in your ear. And they just, which can't be heard over the quote-unquote air, but I can hear it. And they just
uh-huh.
gave me a 90-second count.
Uh-huh.
So, hour 60. So anyway, I will go ahead and let you go. And thank you, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. I look forward to that. Bye-bye
okay,
for
Jason,
now.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now. And this is Jeff Bushman. The program has been Speaking of Everything. If you wish to join us next week, you can... at any point, mark down the phone number to reach us. It's always the same. We'll be back on next week at 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock Let me try that again. 8 p.m. Pacific, that would be 11 p.m. Eastern time. And between there and here, you can kind of like dope that out yourself. Thank you for joining us. Let me urge you to look at, besides James's site, tinyurl.com/mobilemillionaire and jeffonblogging.blogspot.com. And again, thanks again. I'll look forward to being with you next week. Same time, same Blog Talk radio station. And again, thanks very much, and feel free to give us a shout next week.